The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas B'Shalach. However, we're going to continue the series that we've been speaking about on the Esar Makos, the 10 plagues. This is the third of the series. I thought we'd be able to complete it this evening, but there's too much. So we will take the two other Makos. So far, in the first shir of this series, we spoke about Dam Tzvadeya, Kinim, and Oreb. That was the blood, the frogs, the lice, and the wild animals. The next year we spoke about the Dever Shechin and the Barod. The Dever, the pestilence amongst the cattle, the boils on the people, and the hail. This evening I would like to speak about Arba and Cheshech, the locusts and the darkness, which is in Parshas Bay. Last week's Parsha. And then next week, we'll conclude with the Makas Bechoris, the smiting of the firstborn, and then speak in general about all ten in general. So now we come to the Maka of the Arba, the locust. This is in the beginning of Parsha's bow. It states, Vayim Hashem al Meshe Bay al Pare. Hashem said to Moshe, come to Par, go to Par. Ki ani echbarati es libe ves lev avodov. I will harden his heart and the heart of his servants. Leman shisi eiseisa eile bikirboi. In order that I can place my wonders and my signs amongst them. Leman tesaper beozne vincha uben bincha eis hashe isalalti b'mitzrayim. And in order that you shall tell over to your sons and to your grandsons how I sported with Egypt. And my wonders that I placed in them, vidatem ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. Then the Torah tells us that Moshe and Aaron came to Pare. They said, Ke Omar Hashem, this is what Hashem said. For how long will you refuse to humble yourself? Ad Mosai ma antola enos miponai, shalach ami vayabduni. Before Hashem, send out my nation so they may serve me. Because if you will refuse to do so, hineni mevi mochor arbe bigvulecho. I will bring tomorrow locusts to your boundaries. B'chisas ein oretz, and they will cover the whole appearance of the land, the whole vision. You won't be able to see the land. And they will eat whatever was left over from the hail. And they will eat from all of the trees that grow in the field. And they will fill up your houses, the houses of your servants, and the houses of all of Egypt. And it'll be Asher Ro'u Avasecha Vaves Avasecha, and it'll be a plague that your fathers and your fathers' fathers never saw. V'yeim heyesom al adom areyem azeh, from the time that they were first on the earth until now. V'yifen v'yetze me'im Parai, and he turned around and he went out from Parai. There's a little note here to observe that we will dwell on a little later in this year. That on this plague, the Almighty never told Moshe to execute it. All the other ones, he told Moshe and Aaron exactly what to do. Strike the river and it'll become blood, and so forth. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told him to bring locusts. So Hashem said that I'm going to harden his heart, in order that I can send my wonders in, and they will be able to tell it. You'll be able to tell it to your children and children's children. That's all he said. And then Moshe and Aaron went to Paroi, and they said that if you will not send out the nation, we will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will bring Arbe Bigvulecha, locusts, to your boundaries. So this is a very, very good observation, which we will speak about as mentioned. Then, Vayomru Avde Farai Elov. The servants of Paroi said to him, Ad Mosai Yezelon Lemaikesh. For how long will this person be this great Mokesh to us? This great pain to us. Shalach es anoshim vayabdu es Hashem elokeihem. Send out the people. Let them serve their gods. Aterem teidaki of the Mitzrayim. Because before you know it, there won't be any Egypt left over. Here is another observation. This is the first time from all of the ten Makos. Here we're speaking about number 8. That the servants of Paroi spoke up and pressed Paroi to send out the people. This didn't happen at all before. Vayushav es Moshe ves Aaron el Paroi vayom aleihem. So they had Moshe and Aaron returned to Paroi, and he said to him, Lechu evdes ha'ibdu es Hashem elokeicha mi bo mi aholchi. If you will go out to serve Hashem, who has to go? And Moshe said, all of us. Binoreinu, Mizikeinu, our young people, our old people, Nelech, our sons, our daughters, our sheep, our cattle, Kichag Hashem Lono. It's a Yantav holiday to Hashem. And this is also something, because this is the first time that Paroi started to negotiate. Once before he said, all right, go, but serve your God here. Don't go out. And then Moshe said, no, we have to. We can't serve your God here because we will bring sacrifices from sheep and goats, and that's the God of the Egyptians, and they will stone us. So he said, all right, just go outside the boundaries, Lesharchiku, but don't go very far away. Just outside the boundaries and do it. But this is the first time that Paroi started to negotiate. Who you can go, but who has to go? Then Vayomar Elhem Yichain Hashem Imochem Kash Ashalach Eskem Vestapchem Ruki Ro Nege Penechem. He said, let it be, or let Hashem be with you. But if you all go out, no, it's not good. Lechein, lechu no agvorim. Just the men. Vivdus Hashem. And serve Hashem. Ki osa atem mevakshim. Because those are the ones you want. Vaygoresh esam eis b'nei Paroi. And then they were chased out from Paroi. Vayim Hashem al Moshe. So Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Netei yotcho al eretz Mitzrayim ba'arbe. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him about the locusts. Stretch your hand up to the heavens over Egypt for the locusts. And they will come on down to Egypt, and they will eat all of the vegetation, whatever the hail left over. And Moshe did that. And Hashem brought an east wind, all day and all night. And in the morning, the wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went all over Egypt. V'chol gvul Mitzrayim, all of the boundaries, kovid me'od, exceedingly heavy, lefonav lo hayakein arba kamayo v'achrav lo yakein. There were never locusts like this before, and there never will be again. Me'chases ein kol ha'oretz, and they covered the appearance of the entire land, v'atech shach ha'oretz, and the land became dark from them. and they ate all of the vegetation, all of the fruits that the hail left over, and was not left over, called Yerek ate Esav Asod b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. There was nothing left in the whole land of Egypt. So Pare hurried up to get Moshe and Aaron back, and he said, "Chotosi Lashem Elekechem Valochem. I have sinned to the God, your God, and to you. And now, please forgive this sin, Achapam, at least this time only. Va'atir Lashem Elekechem, and go pray to your God. Biyoser Mi'alai Rakam Ovesaseh." And remove from me this death. So Hashem now changed the wind, and instead of an east wind, it was a strong west wind. And it lifted up all the locusts, and it blew them all into the sea. Le'nishar arba echod b'chol gvul Mitzrayim. There was not one locust left in all of the boundaries of Egypt. By Chazek, Hashem has laid Parai, and Hashem hardened the heart of Parai, and Leishilach has been Israel, and he did not send out the children of Israel. The Medrash says, Medrash Rabbah here, Perk Yud Gimel Osvov, Lomer Hevi Alehan Arbe, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring Arba on them, mipnei shesomu es Yisrael zerechitim usaorim, because they made Yisrael go and plant wheat and barley for the Egyptians. Therefore, Hashem brought upon them the locusts and ochel kol ma shezar alem Yisrael, and it ate all everything that Yisrael planted for them. Now, so far, the Medrash has been giving a reason for each makah, which was mida keneged mida, basically. In other words, a measure for a measure. Then the Medrash says, Pare said, Chotosi Lashem Elokechem Velochem. I have sinned to the God your father, to the God of your God, and to you. What does it mean? So it says, this that I sinned to your God, we understand, because he wouldn't send out Hashem's nation. But what does it mean? I have sinned to you, Elohim. So the Medrash says as follows. If you look in Pasuk Yud, which we read, it says, Vayoma Alehem. Hashem said, and Pare said to them, this was after he brought them back. Well, this was Moshe warned them what he's going to do. So he said to them, he says, who should go? So Moshe said, everyone has to go. So he said, Yichen Hashem imachem. Let Hashem be with you. Now this doesn't work out. What is this doing in the middle here? And then he says, if I send you out together with your children, there'll be evil against you. The Medrash says that he really wanted to curse Moshe and said, Yichen imachem. That what you're doing to me should happen to you. So he was going to curse Moshe. So now he asked Mechila for that. I was going to curse you. Shomati yikein Hashem imochem. That Hashem should put on you what he's put on me. So therefore, Chotosi Lashem elekeichem elochem. I have sinned to you, God, and I have sinned to you. You must forgive me. Then it states, Lenisha Abba Echod, that after Pare said, all right, remove these locusts and I'll send your nation out, it states that a wind came now, a west wind, and it blew them into the sea. Le'nishar arba echo, not one locust remained. Amar b'yechanan. Somhu amitzrim, when the locusts came, the Egyptians were not very happy about that. But on the other hand, they said, gamzu l'teva, not so bad. Why? Nakboitz unmale mehem chevyos. They went and they brought their barrels and they started to gather in the locust because the locust is a delicacy. Grasshoppers in many places are a delicacy. In fact, there are kosher grasshoppers. I don't know if these were the kosher ones, but they are. So they started to gather them in. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rishoyim. Kadosh Baruch Hu got angry and he said, what Rishoyim? B'make shehevisi evesi aleichem bo atem smechim. Here I bring a plague on you. I hit you because you are such a Rishoyim and now you want to use it for your own good. Miyad v'ayapech Hashem ruachos. Zok. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't, he could have just had the locusts die. And then they would have, the plague would have stopped. But then they would have had the grasshoppers. So therefore he brought a strong wind and it blew it all into the sea. Ma'ule nisha arbe echod, what does it mean? Not even one remained. Afila masho hoyu bigdeireis ubechevyeis meluchais porchu v'holcholem. Even those that they already had in their pots and in their barrels that they were salting, and they were already dead. I would imagine they were already dead. They were salting them. So evidently there was a tchias hameshim. They came alive and they flew away. So this is what it means, le'nisha arbe echod. Not one locust remained. B'chol gvul mitzroyim, in the, all of the boundaries of Egypt. The Maral asks here in the Gvuras Hashem, at the end of Perek Lamed Gimel, why does it mention here Leman Tisapir beozne bincha ubevne bincha? Esashe isalalti bimitzrayim. Here it mentions, in order that you shall tell over to your sons and your grandsons how I sported with Egypt. This is the first place that it mentions that. Your sons and your grandsons. In other words, not only will you speak about it, but this will be something to tell for generations. Here is the first time that this is mentioned. Why here? At the eighth plague. So that he brings the Medrash Rabbah, Perek Yud Gimel Osei, that really uses this to answer another question. We ask the question that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go to Paray, because I am going to harden his heart in order that I can bring my wonders, and you will be able to tell this over to your children and your grandchildren. And then it states Moshe went, and he warned Paray that locusts were going to come to the land. So here the Medrash asks, Kodesh Baruch Hu never told him locusts is going to, are going to come. After he warned Paray, then Hashem said, after he warned him of the locusts, then Hashem said, put your hand up to the heavens and bring the locusts. So the Medrash says, Kan Romas Lemesha. From this Pasuk, that he said, that I am going to bring a plague which will cause you to tell over to your generations forever, Moshe understood it's going to be the plague of Arba, of locusts. This is what the Medrash says. When he said that, that's when he indicated to Moshe from those words, it's going to be locusts. Now what is the explanation of this? So the Maral says as follows. In the plagues that up till now, there were some which are totally wondrous. And they've happened once and they will never happen again. And that's, for example, the dam. When do you see that a river turns to blood? Happened once and never happened again. Or Tzfadea. When do you see all of a sudden there's an invasion of frogs all over Medina? Or Kinim, lice. Lice came over the whole country of Egypt. When do you see such a thing? Or Orav. Orav is when the bush and the jungle just went wild, and every wild animal alive invaded Egypt. So these were makas, which were chidushim gemorim, dvorim ayetzim min hateva lagamri. These were wonders, which were so wondrous that they've happened once and they never happened again. On the other end of the spectrum, you have some makas, some plagues, which were not such wonders. For example, Dever. Dever was the pestilence, the plague to the animals. Animals died. Look, that's a plague, it's a tragedy. But it happens. Right now, if you listen to the news, they'll tell you about an epidemic called bird flu in Vietnam that's spreading and they're very, very afraid of it. It's killing fowl. We had not long ago, in England, there was a very serious plague of the foot and mouth disease. So these happen, these things. Some are a little better, some are worse, but they happen. So that was Dever. Another such an example is Shechin. Shechin was a plague which struck the person. It boils. We had, and I believe it was about 1917, 1918, was the great flu epidemic. They say killed millions. We have now the AIDS epidemic that they say is going to be far greater than that. So plague, such plagues, they come to the world. We don't want them to come to the world. They don't come too often, but they do. Even Barod. Barod was heavy hail that came all over Egypt. Now, something like that, a natural disaster, it's somewhat rare. But now with global information, we see it's happening in some place in the world all of the time. How many times do we read about a volcano that explodes, that kills hundreds of thousands, and an earthquake that kills thousands and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, and floods and hurricanes and forest fires. So there were, just like there were some makas that were so wondrous, they never happened once and they've never happened since then. The other end of the spectrum, there were makas which have happened and they do happen. Except maybe they weren't quite as serious as happened to Egypt, but they do. So those are ones that are classified not as chidushim gemurim. They weren't such. If you look at them from a perspective of chidush, of a wonder which is totally out of the ordinary of nature, not necessarily so. There was one in the middle. And that's the Arba. Locusts come to the world. But locusts, Arba kovid me'od, a great plague of locusts, where it covers an enormous amount of area, it can come. Chazal brings that it came in the days of Yoel. But very, very rarely. Very rarely. But it does come. See, when's the last time when you heard about a big plague of locusts? People, sometimes. So this is in the middle. So he says in the first category, and there you don't have, well, people will always talk about it. Because it happened once, it never happened again, so it's forgotten. In the second category, you don't have where the people always talk about it, because it's not such a wonder. I mean, all right, you know, there's a hurricane, but it happens. There's a forest fire, it happens. There's flood, it happens. There's earthquakes, it happens. But locus is something that such a plague is a chidush. It's a wonder. But it does reoccur. And being that it reoccurs, then people don't forget about it. And when it does reoccur, they say, well, this could be almost as great as happened in Egypt. So for here, it would be Leman, that like it states, that I'm going to bring a plague, Leman tesapir be'oz nevincho ben'vincho, that your children and grandchildren, the people will talk about it forever. It will not be forgotten. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe this, he knew they were speaking about some type of plague in the middle. Something which is a wondrous, but at the same time, it's not one time only. So from there, Moshe thought, and he came to the conclusion, it must be Arba, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. Then, why all of a sudden, here, did the servants get involved? The servants of Pare. It states, like we read, Vayemur Avdei Pare Lav Admosai. How long are you going to tolerate this person for? Before you know it, there'll be no Egypt left. Why here? This is the eighth plague. And here we see also that Paris, like we mentioned, started to negotiate. The first time, till now, the first plagues he wasn't interested. Leshos libom gam lezer, they weren't interested. Then finally he told Moshe, all right, you want to serve your God, but you're not going out of Egypt. Then when Moshe said, we have to, all right, go right outside the boundary. Leisarkiku. Don't go far. But this was the first time he was prepared to negotiate. Okay, you want to go out? A 3-day journey, go. But mi va mi aholchim, who are the ones that have to go? So here, he started to negotiate. And then, in the next plague, by Choshech, so he said, all right, gam tabchem yilchu limochem. He said, all right, take your children also. But by Choshech, he said, Rak seinchem v'karchem yutzok. You can take your children also, but not the sheep and the cattle. And then when it came to the next plague, the Marcus Bechoris, there Pare came, and he kumutzu mitechami. He got up and said, all of you go. Kidaberchem, like you said. You can take the old ones, you can take the young ones, you can take the children, you can take the cattle. But techezak Mitzrayim lemaher leshalchom, and the people couldn't get Israel out of there fast enough. So we see till here he was not ready to negotiate. On this plague, number 8, he started to bend and negotiate. He gave them miksas, a bit. The next plague, number 9, he gave them more, and number 10, he gave them everything. Why? So the Maral says like this. Every plague that we conceive was of increased power. This we can see from the responses of Pare and his servants. First time they didn't believe him at all. They said it was Kishuf, because the magicians also were able to do that. The second time also. The third time they couldn't. They said, Etz Belekim, it's the finger of Hashem, but they weren't interested in doing anything. And slowly, the pressure increased. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the tap tighter and tighter, the noose tighter and tighter, the pressure was increasing. And each time, Paray was submitting a little more. But the Baal says the distinction here is because seven plagues have passed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says that when he brings punishment to his Rishayim, in the Chukesai, Vayikra Chof Vav, he says, V'yasafti liyasra eschem sheva al chateisechem. He brings it in units of seven. He'll bring seven punishments on them, each one a little more than the other. They do tshuva right away, it stops. If not, so he finishes the seven. If they don't do tshuva after that, then he brings another seven, but of a different type. Not a continuation of the first seven, but a different unit altogether, a different type. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu already brought seven. This was number eight. Cheshek, darkness, was number nine, and Becheres was number ten. This was Misug Acher. This was a different type altogether. And that's why here Paray started to buckle. And here he said, and the same thing, his servants started to jump in, send them already. And he said, all right, let's sit down and negotiate. I'll give you this, but not more. Next Makkah, I'll give you more. Makkah Becheres, I'll give you everything. If this is a different sug, a different type of makkah altogether than the first seven, what was different about it? So the Maral says, all of these were the equivalent of miso, of death. These three makkos, till now, it was affliction, but not death. But these three all were the equivalent of death. Where do we see this? Because when it came to the locusts, so this is what Paro said. Paro called him back and he said, V'yose me'alai rak ha-moves hazeh. He says, remove from me this death. He called it moves, death. Choshech, the darkness. But I'll say, as a total darkness, the Chazal say, is a degree of death. The pasuk in Eicha, where Yirmiyahu is mekenein, he laments that by the Churban Beis HaMikdash, he says, "B'machshachim hoshivani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sat us in the darkness, kimesei olam, like those who are dead." That's incidentally why we dim the lights when we read Eicha. Choshech is a degree of death. We'll speak about it a little more in the next makkah, but the dead sit in total darkness. The Gehenna is total darkness. And therefore the Choshech was death. Incidentally, it's interesting to note that by here, by the locusts, it also mentions darkness. Because it says, V'chiso aseinu oretz v'lo yuchal yoreis es oretz. When the locusts come, they will cover the whole land and you won't be able to see the land. V'yachas es ein kol oretz v'tech shacho oretz. They came and they covered the land and the land was darkened. Tech shacho oretz, it became black as night because of so many locusts. So therefore the Choshech also was a degree of death. And Makkos Becheres was actual death, the smiting of the firstborn. So therefore the last three were not just a continuation of the first seven that were accelerating. It was a different type altogether. And there they couldn't take that anymore. So that's why they started to buckle. It's very important for one to study and appreciate the severity of these makkos. There's a great deal of Chazal, say, what the sages say, and so forth, the commentaries on this. Why? Aside from its Torah here. But Rabbeinu Yena says in Masechta Ovis that from here we learn how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats his enemies and how he will treat the enemies of Israel in the future. You know, we've suffered a lot from our enemies. And if you speak to the so-called liberals, they're always talking forgiveness, forgiveness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't believe in that type of forgiveness. He believes in forgiveness where you do tshuva. Then he forgives. But if you don't do tshuva, there's no such thing as forgiveness. Like we see here with Paray and Mitzrayim. And he's not finished yet with them. Incidentally, it states that there was one, wasn't a blade of grass left in all of Egypt. It's also worthy to appreciate what this means. Because Egypt was called Ki Eretz Mitzrayim Ki Gan Hashem. It was called the Garden of Hashem. It was the most fertile and beautiful land in the whole world next to Eretz Israel. So it's important for us to know just what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to do to all of our enemies of the past. And the Rabbeinu Yehuda says, because the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to be mido keneged mido. Has to be measure for a measure. Unless a person does tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told Abraham that your children will be getting Be'eretz Leilahem, strangers in a land which is not theirs, Be'avodum vi'ino eison, arba me'er shona. And that people will enslave them and afflict them for 400 years. He said, V'gam onochi, v'gam ani don onochi. But I will judge that nation. V'yetzi b'ruchush gadol, and I will take out your children with a great wealth, and I will judge that nation. Don onochi means I will judge. They will get their retribution. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, with how many volumes of writings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu describe the punishments that he'll give that nation. He says two letters, Don. Two letters. And look what he gave them. So he says, you can imagine that when the Melech HaMashiach comes to take us out from all of our past enemies, and on that there are chapter after chapter from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do to those nations, you can imagine what it will be. So it gives us this insight. Now we go to Malchus Choshech, darkness. This we find in Pasuk Chof Aleph. Shmeis Yud, Pasuk Chof Aleph, just following the Arba, the locust. Vayom Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Netei Yodcho al Hashomayim, lift your hand up to the heavens, Vihi Choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim, and let there be darkness on Egypt, Vayom Eish Choshech. And there was darkness. What does it mean, Vayom Eish Choshech? So, Rashi says, the word is from Vayakshik Aleim Cheshech Yosef Mecheshko Shalaylo. Vecheshech Shalaylo Yamish Yakshik Od. It means there was a constant increase, acceleration of the darkness. The darkness of the day was darker than the night before. And the darkness of the next night was even darker than the day before. Yomesh Choshech, there was a constant acceleration of the darkness. The Targum learns, Bosid Yadei Kabel Lailo. It seems that the Targum is learning, the Yomesh Choshech, that there was a continuation of the darkness of the night. In other words, when night fell, daybreak never came. It remained night. The Yomesh Choshech, and he's learning, Rashi says, Le Yomush. Shall not cease. That the darkness never ceased. When night came, it was night. Daybreak came, there was no daybreak. That's how the Targum learns. Rashi doesn't like that explanation for his reasons. But then, there's a Chazal on this, B'yomesh Cheshech. And B'yomesh Cheshech means, Rashi brings it here, B'kitzer. Shohyakofel u'mekufel v'av, the darkness accelerated and accelerated, atshoye by mamash, until it was not just darkness. Darkness is just the absence of light, but actually it was something, it was a force that was a reality. It was thick. Many times we say it's this, the darkness is so thick, but it's not thick. This actually had a body to it. So we'll see a little more of that in a minute. Then it states, by eight Moshe Yodel Ashamoim, Moshe stretched his hand into the heaven, up to the heaven, V'yicheshech hafeilo, choshech hafeilo. Both of those words mean darkness. Choshech and eifel. We'll see in a minute what that's coming to teach us. B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, in all of the land of Egypt, shleshish yomim, for 3 days. Le'ro'u ish esochi ve'le'komu ish mitachtov shleshish yomim. A person didn't see his brother, and he did not stand up from where he was sitting for 3 days. U'lachol b'nei Yisrael hoya or b'meish voishom. And in all b'nei Yisrael, there was light wherever they were. And then this is where Pare called to Moshe and he said, go. Go and serve. But your sheep and cattle you leave here. You can take your children also. And Moshe said, nothing doing. Not only will we take all our cattle and all our sheep, but you'll also give us cattle and sheep. We will not leave one set of hoofs in all of Egypt when we go. We have to take everything. And Hashem hardened his heart and he didn't listen to them. And Pare said, Lech me'olai, go out from me. He became very angry. He says, I don't want to see you anymore, because the day you see me, you shall die. He says, you're right. He says, the next day I see you, you're going to die. And lay oisif odereis panecha. I will not see you again. The next time he saw him was on the Makkos Bechoris. Now, the Medrash says, lama hevi aleihem choshech. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring darkness on them? So the Medrash says like this. Now here, it is not explained mido kenegen mido. Till now, according to this pirush of the Medrash, every makkah was in retribution specifically for a certain chait. Here it wasn't. It states like this. Yisborach shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blessed is the name of Hashem. Shein lefonov, She'en lefonov masay ponim. Ba'akorish Baruch Hu. When he judges perfectly. He doesn't forget about things. He doesn't close his eyes to things, like we said. You want favor from Hashem? You have to do tshuva. Person doesn't do tshuva, can't fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the perfect judge. And also HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees into the hearts of people, so he knows what's happening. The fisha hayu poshim bi Yisrael, shoyu lehen patronin mina mitzrim. There were wicked people in Israel, and they were patronin from the Egyptians. What does it mean, patronin? The Matnes Kuna says, shroreis vishiltones. Now this is something which seems to me not too well known. There seemed to have been an enormous amount of Peshi Israel, of wicked people in Israel, amongst the Hebrews. And they were governors. They were lords. They were nobility. And how did they become that? Because they did what the Egyptians told them. The Egyptians told them, serve our idols, they served the idols. The Egyptians told them, help us in what we want to do, they helped. They were traitors. Unfortunately, we had these type of Jews amongst the Nazis also, Yimach Shemam, history records. V'hoya lehem shom osher v'kovet. And they were very wealthy because of this. The Egyptians paid them off well. V'lo hayu rotzim lotzeis. They didn't want to go out. He said, we have it fine here in Egypt. We don't want to go out. What should we go out in the desert for? Right. Now, I don't know if all of them were like that. There could have been other Rishoyim that were just didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kefrim. I don't know all. This Medrash doesn't say. But this is what the Medrash says. Lefi shoya poshim b'Yisrael, shoya lehen patronin min ha-Mitzrim. They were sroles v'shultones. They were governors and lords and nobility. And they had great wealth and honor. They didn't want to go out. And these HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these people were traitors. And traitors to him and traitors to the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy these people. And that's why he says, even though they concealed what they did, they couldn't conceal it from Hashem. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to destroy all of these Hebrews. These so-called Hebrews. But im ovi alehen make befarheshu v'yemusu yemru ha-mitzrim kishem she'ovar aleinu kach ovar alehen. If I destroy them publicly, so then the Egyptians will say, look, your God is bringing plagues on your own people just like they bring on us. So we're not so bad. Therefore, the fichoch hevi al mitzrim choshech gimel yomim. Therefore, he brought darkness on the Egyptians for 3 days. Kdei shekevrim meseihem, in order that all of these people will die and their fellow Hebrews will bury them. V'layerein eson seinehem, and then the enemies, the Egyptians, will not see it. And then v'yumishapchin l'akorish borchu alakach. And then Israel will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this, that at least he had to do this, he concealed it from the Egyptians. You know, there's something which I do not understand, and I haven't been able to find a good explanation in it, but in this week's Parsha, it states in the third pasuk of the parsha, or the second pasuk, it says that when the nation went out, the chamushim olu v'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. They went out chamushim. What does that mean? So Rashi says mizuyonim. They went out armed. This also we can ask. It says Rashi says they went out armed. And that's why when Amalek came to fight with them, they were able to have a war because they were armed. Here we can also ask, where did they get the arms from? It doesn't say. It says that they took the Kli Zov and the Kli Kesev and the Smoleis. They were able to take golden and silver vessels and beautiful clothing from the Egyptians. Where did they get all of the guns and the cannons and the machine guns and everything else and the bombs? Unless there were kanoim there that had arm catchers. And that's what they took out with them. That's one observation. But what even is more difficult, then Rashi brings the Medrash, another explanation in Chamushim. Echod mechamishu yotzu. Only 1/5 went out. Ba'arba chalokim mesu b'shleishe shemei afela. Four-fifths died in the first 3 days of the Makas Keshach, of the plague of darkness. Now, all right, the Medrash explained to us that there were those that were not good Jews. They were traitors, or whatever they were. But four-fifths? You know how many there were? Four-fifths? If we just counted the men between 20 and 60, if we're only counting the men, 600,000 went out. So you'd have to multiply that by five times, right? And you get 300,000, 3 million. So that means 2.3 million, 2.4 million. Out of 3 million, 2.4 million were Rishoyim, and 600,000 were Tzadik. Is that correct? Yeah? Okay. So only that much. So I haven't been able to find a good explanation of this, but at any rate, this is what the Medrash tells us here. They don't all have to be here, these governors and lords, but they were in the Chamushim, in the four-fifths that remained. So now, this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought darkness, not to punish them with the darkness, mida keneged mida, but in order to destroy those of the Hebrews that he wanted to. But this doesn't suffice, because this, the Medrash says, was in the first 3 days. The darkness lasted for 6 days. So what was the second 3 days? So the Medrash says further, ubegimel yomim afela. In the next 3 days, now it says afela. There was a heavier darkness. It was cheshech and afela. Nosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu chein ha'am be'enim Mitzrayim. That was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised. We had a pasuk before. Daber el b'ozni b'nei Yisrael. Hashem told Moshe, speak to the b'nei Yisrael and ask them, please, that you should go to the Egyptians, the people should go to the Egyptians and ask them to lend them kli kesef, kli zov, u'shmolis, golden and silver vessels and very, very expensive garments. Because they'll tell us that the garments were worth more than the golden and silver vessels. How could that be? Because the ancient garments were full of gold and silver and precious stones. Go ask them to lend you. Because I promised Avraham, I don't want Avraham coming to me and saying, afflict them for the 400 years that you did. But this that you promised that they would go out with great wealth, what about that? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, please, tell them to go and borrow and let them empty out Egypt. Now, the question was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell them to take it. He said to borrow from them. To borrow, then it has to be given to you. Otherwise, he would have said, take. So how are you going to get the Egyptians to lend? Why Hashem had to do it in this way is also something I don't know. I mean, why did they have to say, lend us? Because really, they weren't borrowing. There were no plans to pay it back, to bring it back. The same question we can ask, why did Hashem keep telling Moshe to tell Pare that we'll only go 3 days away and we'll come back, when that wasn't the plan at all? The fact is, that's why in this week's Parshan B'Shalach, Pare sent people with them to see if they're coming back. And when he saw they weren't coming back, that's when he started to chase them. So why the plan had to be this way, I don't know. But now the question was, is how are you going to get the people to lend you when you're not allowed to take it from them? So Kodesh Baruch, it says, V'nosan chena am. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave grace in the eyes of the Egyptians to want to lend to the people, to the Hebrews. Now, how did he do that? In the second 3 days of darkness, so all the Hebrews were nichnas to say bateihem. They went into the houses of the Egyptians. And they saw where what they had and where everything was. Then, after the Makas Keshek, they came to the Egyptians and they said, I want you to lend me this golden vessel and this silver vessel and these clothes, these garments. And the Egyptians would say, "In lanu lahashru aleichem." We don't have these things to lend to you. And the Hebrew would say, "Yes, you do. And I'll tell you exactly where everything is." Now, once they did that, so the Egyptians said, these people are honest people. And if they say they want to borrow, you can trust them to bring back. Because if they wanted to steal, they would have stole during the 3 days of darkness. You see, they were in the house and they knew exactly where the safe is and where this is and where that is. So that's what it means when it says, Nosanam b'kodesh boch chena am be'ene mitzrayim v'yash ilum. And they lent him all of that. They said, "Kimeikach," just like they didn't take it during the darkness, la yakziku. They're not going to keep what's ours. V'ohi mashilim lahem l'kayi mashenemar v'hachakach yitze berchush godol. That afterwards they will go out with heavy wealth. So this is why there were additional 3 days of darkness. The first 3 days were to kill the Peshi Israel, those who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, the deserving of death. The second 3 days was in order to maneuver this, manipulate this, and the Egyptians therefore would want to lend their wealth to Israel. Now it states, Ulachol b'nei Yisrael hoya'or b'meishveisom. Even though there was darkness all over Egypt, but there was light b'meishveisom. There was light in their dwellings. The Medrash says on this, Be'eretz Geshen le'nemar. Doesn't say there was light in Goshen, where the Hebrews were living. B'meishveisom. It says where the Jews were. To teach us, shekol mokum shohi yehudi nichnas, hoyor nichnas umeir lecho. Ma shebechevyes, ubeteves, ubematmonies. Wherever a Jew went, light went with him. And that's why he was able to go into the houses of the Egyptians, which were totally dark. And he was able to see wherever he went. He was able to see in their treasure chests, in their safes, and so forth, their vaults, and so on. And that's what David HaMelech meant when he, in Tilim, in Kapitel Kufyu Tes, where he said, Ner leragli dvorecho, that your words are a candle to my feet where I walk. Now, you always had a question on this. Dvorecho, that's the words of Hashem. The words of Hashem is His Torah. The Torah is an or, not a ner. It's endless light. It's not a candle. So the Medrash says he's referring here. Because this was not endless light. Because it was total darkness to everyone else. But to the Jew, this was light. So this was a ne'er l'ragli vorecho. Now, we said that this choshech, this darkness, became like a mamoshes. It became something of substance. It was not just the absence of light. It states here, Leiro ish esochi veleikomu ish mitachtov. Shleish yomim. It says twice 3 days. It says there was cheshech hafeila. There was cheshech hafeila in all of Eretz Mitzrayim 3 days. And then it says a person didn't see his brother and he couldn't stand up for 3 days. So what does that mean? So the Medrash says as follows. Rashi brings it b'kitzer. It says, it was ממשש כופל ומכופל כמה היו רבישנו אמרו אובה כדינר היו. The darkness was as thick as a dinar. A dinar is a coin, and it's a large coin. The darkness was as thick as that coin. Shenemar vayomish cheshek shohayim beimamish. There was actual substance in it. Now, this is what it means, the posuk of 3 and 3. Rabbeinu Omru, Zayin yomim shel cheshek hayu. There was a total of 7 days of darkness, 6 here. The 7th, we'll speak about it in a few minutes. Gimel yomim arishaynim, misho hayeshev ubikesh lamei remed, ve'aymed bikesh leshem yoshev. The first 3 days, where it says that one could not see the other, but if someone was sitting and he wanted to stand up, he could stand up. If someone was standing up and he wanted to sit, he could sit. And on these days it states, "Vayhi cheshek hafeila b'chol eretz Mitzrayim shleishis yomim leiro ishes ochiv." 3 days, and a person did not see his brother. But then the second 3 days, gimel yomim acherim misha yeshiv lo hayochol lamed. It became so thick that if you were sitting, you couldn't stand up. Omed en yochol eshev. If you were standing, you couldn't sit down. If someone was crouching, he couldn't straighten up. This means the suffering they went through, that for 3 days they couldn't move. They were frozen in their spot. If they were standing, they couldn't sit for 3 days. If they were sitting, they couldn't stand for 3 days. If they were crouching, they couldn't straighten up for 3 days. That's what it means, that a person couldn't stand. Now we could ask, actually, this doesn't make sense, because darkness doesn't have a substance to it. Darkness is the absence of light. We could say light has a substance to it. The darkness is merely the header, the absence. So if it's the absence of light, so then there's nothing solid in it. There's no matter in it. Actually, I once saw a machlekes discussion, but I think there's a difference of opinion between the Maral and the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. Maral always takes on that darkness is the absence, merely the absence of light. It seemed the Gaon was taking on that darkness is a bria bifnei atzma, is an actual creation. But at any rate, we know darkness to be an absence of light. So here we see that it was physical matter. How could that be? The answer to that is in the Medrash. The Medrash brings here that in this psukim it states, "Vayema Hashem al Meishan netei yotcha al hashamoyim." Lift your hand to the heaven, and there'll be darkness. So it states, Moshe lifted his hand up to the heaven. And then it states, "Vayhi cheshech afeila b'chol eretz Mitzrayim shleishis yomim." There was darkness of afeila. Afeila is a very, very heavy darkness for 3 days. So the Medrash says like this, where did this darkness come from? From one aspect, it seems it came from the heaven, because it says Moshe was told to put his hand, and probably with his matzah, his staff, up to the heaven. So it seems he was bringing it down from the heaven. From the other aspect, it seems that he was bringing it up from the lower downs, because it states, "Cheshech afeila." There was choshech afeila, and choshech afeila refers to the cheshech hatachtein, to the darkness which is beneath the earth. So where did this come from? So this is what the Medrash says. It says it's written in the heavens, and it's written Choshech Hafeilo. Now the Medrash says we find that in the Bria, in the creation, there's a Choshech Lemala and a Choshech Lemata. There's a darkness on high and there's a darkness on low. Rabbi Yehuda says this darkness was brought down from the darkness on high. Shenemar, as it states, Yoshes Choshech Sisrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed darkness in the place where he is concealed. Sviveisov Sukosei. The darkness surrounds him like a sukkah. This is a pasuk in Tehillim Yudkes. Reb Nechemya Emer, Nechemya said no. So according to Reb Yehuda, that's where the darkness came from. Nechemya says no. This cheshek came from Gehenna. Because we have a pasuk in Iyov, which states, Eretz Eifoso Kimei Eifel Tzalmovis. Ofel there refers to Gehenna. Ofel Tzalmovis, that refers to the Gehenna of death. And here it says Eifel, Afela. He says it came from Gehenna. And then he says we see further that Choshech comes from low down. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it states right at the beginning of creation, V'choshech al penei tahom. There was darkness in the depths. So therefore, Reb Nechemya says that this choshech came from Gehenna. So there's a machlekes. Where did this darkness come from? Did it come from the darkness above or the darkness below? Now right away, we see here an answer to our question. This was not the normal darkness. The normal darkness is merely the lack of the light. But had it been only that, so you wouldn't have a situation where someone who's standing can't sit, and someone who's sitting can't stand, and someone who's crouching can't straighten out. So we see it's not the normal darkness. Now, there's no doubt that was Loku Amaoris. This was a plague that struck the lights of the world. It struck the sun, the moon, and the stars. But there was more than that also. So therefore, these Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Nechemya, are going into where did this darkness come from? One links it to Shemayim, because Moshe was told to put his staff up to the heavens. And he brought it down. And the other links it to Gehenna, because it says Choshech Afelo, and in Iyov Gehenna is described as Eifel, and Choshech is Apenei Tahom. In the creation, it states there was Choshech coming up from the depths, so it was the Choshech shall Gehenna. So therefore, they have this machlekes. The Maral adds on, comments on this. This is at the beginning of Perek Lamed Daled. What are these two darknesses? And why should there be darkness in the heaven? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there were two darknesses, and there are. He says, firstly, there has to be darkness somewhere in the heaven, which is Mavdil, which separates between our creation and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There has to be. He says, why? Because Bereishis Bara Elokim, this physical world that we have, was created, which wasn't here forever. It was created. That means that something preceded it, and that was the lack of creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayhi Or, he created the light, the physical light that we have here in the world. So which means that there was a time when there was no light. So there has to be darkness. If there was always light, so what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create at Bereishis? On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kul Or, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all light. So he says, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kula Or, he's all light. But there's a machitza, there's a barrier of darkness between Hashem and the creation. And it was in that darkness that he brought out the creation. But that barrier, part of that barrier, still exists. And that's what it means in the Posuk, which we read, Yoshish Cheshech Sisrei Sviveisov Sukosoi. There is darkness he has placed around his abode, which surrounds him like a sukkah, conceals him like a sukkah. So that's a Choshech HaElyon. That's the upper darkness. Now there's another darkness in the world. Not because that's what preceded creation, and creation is light. But there's another darkness in the world because the world is not perfect. You know, many times we always complain. It's too hot, then it gets cold, it's too cold. It's too dry, then it becomes too much rain. Always complaining. Why are we always complaining? Because we want it perfect. But there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. A person shouldn't think he's spoiled because he wants it perfect. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect world. The world was supposed to be perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations are not imperfect. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't create a perfect world. And he did. Then was Gan Eden. We live in an imperfect world because of our deeds, you see. And we suffer from it. And that's why we complain. But it's justified. Justified. Man seeks perfection. He was made to live in a perfect world. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he was interested in a perfect world. But the world became imperfect because of the Nivroi, because of his creations. It's people. From day one. First day, Adam and Chava were created. They almost destroyed the entire world. And so on and so on and so on. So because of that, imperfection became lodged into the creation. And that's what it means, v'cheshech al penei tahom, darkness. And that darkness is a choshech hatachton, an imperfection, which basically was the lack of the perfection of the creation, which was kula or, which was light. The fact is, we have a sun. The sun has everything in it. The sun gives us light. The sun gives us heat. The sun keeps us alive. Because the sun gives energy into... You see, if you'd ask, what do we live on? We actually live on grass. Because the sun gives energy into all the plants that they should grow. The cattle live off of the grass, and we live off the cattle. So the sun has everything in it. Yet if you read your articles on good health, they'll say don't stand in the sun too long. You can get chas v'sholom, who knows what you can get from it. That's not supposed to be that way. Something went wrong. Because I'll tell us, that the sun that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, nobody could get sick from. See? No one. It wouldn't be too hot, it wouldn't be too cold. But Rosh She'eino Olam Kedai, he saw that, no, that's not for this world. The people will just make korban of it. Gonzu, the tzaddikim lasi lavai. He put it away for the tzaddikim, for the righteous in the world to come. So, the world is supposed to be perfect. But people destroy it. So therefore, the creation, which is perfect, would be perfect light, lacked some light. And that created the Choshech HaTachtein, the darkness down below. And that's Gehenna. That's Gehenna. That's Choshech HaPnei Tahom. Now, both of these darknesses are so great that they have matter in them. It's not just the shadow of the sun. They have matter. And therefore the Chazal wanted to know, where did this Choshech come from? So one said, put your staff up, put your hand up to the heavens. He brought it from the heavens. Another said, no, it says Choshech Afela. And Eiffel is Gehenna, and Choshech HaPnei Tahom. It came from Gehenna. So that's why this was not the normal darkness. One final point. The Chazal, the sages ask, here in the Medrash, that there were 6 days of darkness. First three and the second three. But every mark, every plague was for 7 days. So a day is missing. So on that, the Chazal say, and this will link us to our parsha of this week. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had one more day of darkness to pay off the Egyptians with. So he saved it. He saved it for the Kriyas Yamsuf. In Parshas Beshalach, it states in Posuk, in Perek Yudalot, Posuk Yutes, Vayisa malach alakim ahoylech lifnei machni Yisrael, vayelech machareihem. There was an angel that was in front of Klal Yisrael, that was leading Klal Yisrael. When the Egyptians started to close in from behind, as they were going through the sea when it was split, so this angel went, and he moved to the back of Klal Yisrael. Vayisa amud ha'anon mipneihem, vayamed ma'achareihem. And the amud ha'anon, which was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was leading them. He sent his amud ha'anon, his column of cloud, to the back of Yisrael. Vayove bein machne Mitzrayim uvein machne Yisrael. And now, this angel, and together with the cloud, was between the backs of the camp of Israel and the front of the camp of Egypt. And there was darkness for the Egyptians, and there was light for the Israel. And therefore, even though the Egyptians were right behind Israel, and they could have caught up with them, they couldn't. Because they couldn't see ahead of them, themselves, and Israel had light. So this was the seventh day of the plague of darkness. Bazen Amar. And the Medrash says, in Elul we start a tefillah. L'dovid Hashem Ori B'Yishi. This is in Tehillim Chof Zayin. What did David mean when he said, Hashem Ori V'Yishi, Hashem is my light and my salvation, my Yeshua? He was referring to this. That when we went out of Mitzrayim, it was total darkness for the Egyptians. But in front of us was Kula Or and Kula Yeshua. And here he calls it not Ner, but Or. Because this was an endless expanse of light for Yisrael. The David Hashem, to David Hashem said, Ori v'yishi, excuse me, David said, Hashem is my light and my Yeshua. And then the Medrash says, V'chein lo'osid lovoi, Yovi HaKadosh Baruch Hu cheshech ala akum v'yo'el Yisrael. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the final days, he will bring darkness to the nations of the world that stood up against Israel, and he will bring light to Israel. As it states, Ki nea cheshech yichaseh oretz, the darkness will cover the land. So this is, these are explanations on the eighth and ninth makia, Arbe, the locust, and Choshech, darkness. Im yetz Hashem, next week we will speak about makas becheres. the smiting of the firstborn, the 10th, and then in general on all of the 10. Okay.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.